Rosh Chodesh Av is unique in that most other months, when we get to Rosh Chodesh, there's a certain level of excitement. And certainly for the Rosh Chodesh itself, it's generally a joyous day. We increase our eating and joy. And yet Rosh Chodesh Av comes with it really two thoughts. One is it's the start of the 9 days, the impending remembrance of the Churban, of Tisha B'Av. But also, it's the only recorded yahrzeit in the entire Torah. We know that Be'echad Ba'av, and Rosh Chodesh Av, was the death of Aaron HaKohen. So much so that the Shlach HaKadosh writes that because Aaron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av, that's why the Gemara in Tainis and Daf Chaf Lamed Beis tells us that when Kishnichnas Av, Mema'atin B'Simcha, that when Av enters, we begin to decrease our simcha. One would have thought, let it be a little bit closer to Tisha B'Av, why do we have to start decreasing our simcha right at Rosh Chodesh Av? But the Shlach is telling us that the death of Aaron HaKohen was uniquely sad. There was something uniquely troubling about the death of Aaron HaKohen, not just his death, but its impact on Klal Yisrael to this day, that is reason to decrease our simcha. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, in Tav Kuf Pei, Sif Beis, when it's listing different bad days on our calendar that it's worthy to fast on, one of the days the Shulchan Aruch lists is Echad Ba'av, as the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. So it's a very interesting and sad day because of the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. But is there any connection between these two thoughts? The fact that Rosh Chodesh Av is the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen, but it also represents to us the Tchilas HaChorban. It represents the impending doom of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So there actually are several connections between Aaron HaKohen's death and the Churban HaBayis. First of all, the Sefer Karakemach points out that the reason why Aaron HaKohen dies in Chodesh Av, the same month of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, is to teach us that the death of a tzaddik, his shkula, is equivalent to the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, that we should realize that we're not only mourning churban of a physical structure, but we know that the Beis HaMikdash represented for us a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we were able to be elevated spiritually, we were able to motivate ourselves, the same way when one goes to the Kotel, he feels a certain presence, a certain shechina. One could have attained that by the Beis HaMikdash. And the same is really true, I think, when it comes to tzaddikim, that sometimes we often don't realize that by speaking to tzaddikim, by watching tzaddikim, by learning from tzaddikim, we can actually use them as a conduit to connect on a much deeper level with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So a tzaddik and the Beis HaMikdash really serve the same function for Klal Yisrael, and therefore it makes sense that when a tzaddik dies, it's equal to the Churban HaBayis, because in a certain sense we've lost a certain connection to a deep spiritual need that we all have to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Shlach HaKadosh takes us a little bit deeper, and he says that Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol HaRishon. He was the first ever Kohen Gadol, and he corresponded to the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, to the first Beis HaMikdash. Ezra was corresponding to the Bayis Sheni. As we know, says the Shlach, Ezra was a Gilgal of Aaron HaKohen. As Ezra, Begematria, with its letters in Mispar Katan, is the same as Aaron. And that's actually why, says the Shlach, the death of Aaron HaKohen is recorded both in Parshas Chukas and in Parshas Maaseh, corresponding to the destruction of both Batei Mikdash. Not only that, in Parshas Chukas, it doesn't say that Aaron died through a neshika, through a kiss. But in Maaseh it does. Shlach says because the Churban Bayis Rishon was much worse than the Churban Bayis Sheni. And in the Churban Bayis Sheni, we know there were certain chesronos, there were certain things lacking from the Bayis Rishon, and that's why it doesn't say that Aaron died with a kiss when Aaron is corresponding to the first Beis HaMikdash. Let's take this a little bit deeper. Chassam Sofer, in the Torah's Moshe, in Parshas Maaseh, he asks, why do we need to list all the Masaos where the Jews traveled? So he quotes a very well-known Rashi, who quotes from the Medrash Tanchuma. He gives a mashal, a parable, to a king whose son was ill. He took the son to a distant place to cure him, And Baruch Hashem, he was cured. Now, once they started back on their return journey, the father began to count all of the journeys. He would say, oh, here we slept, here we felt cold, here you had a headache. So that's Rashi. So Chasam Sofer says that the reason why the Torah, just elaborating on Rashi, lists all the Masa'os is to remind us of our past sins. Even the names of the places of the Masa'os reference sins that we did. Chasam Sofer asks, why was it necessary to remind us of the sins that we did in those journeys? As we know, the Pasuk says that after Aaron HaKohen died, Vayibku oso kol beis Yisrael, the entire Klal Yisrael cried over Aaron's death. We know that anyone who cries and mourns on an Adam Kasher, on a Gadol, on a Tzaddik, HaRakash Baruch Hu is mochel kol avonosav. Kosh Baruch Hu is sofer manichin v'beit kenazav. He stores away his sins. He doesn't count them. So the Jews shouldn't have had any sins left to count after the death of Aaron. So why are we then recounting them all with the Masa'os? So Chasam Sofer answers that it's true. If Kosh Baruch Hu would have counted up all of the tears that we shed over Aaron HaKohen, we indeed would have been forgiven, and we would not have needed to be reminded of our sins. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a calculation and felt it was necessary to not use up those tears for our benefit at that moment, but rather to store away those tears in a Beis HaOtzer, in a storehouse. Why? So that Aaron HaKohen Zechus, his merit, could stand with us when we leave the Galus and went to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why Aaron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av. He was the Av of the Beis HaMikdash. He was the father of the Beis HaMikdash. It was his zechus. The fact that the Jews cried over him, and those tears were put in a storehouse. They weren't used up right away. Kadosh Baruch Hu put them in a storehouse and reserved them as a merit to ultimately build the Beis HaMikdash b'schus Aaron. So we see another connection between Aaron HaKohen and the Beis HaMikdash itself. But not only is there a connection between Aaron HaKohen, his Misa, his death, and the Beit HaMikdash, but there's also a deep connection between the sadness, the tragedy of Aaron's death, and the tragedy of the Churban HaBayis. Yonos HaNaibishitz, in the Yaros Devash, he notes that the Medrash in Eicha Rabbah, on the Pasuk in the first parak of Megillas Eicha, which says, Shimu ki ne'en cha'ani, they have heard how I sigh. The Medrash says that this pasuk in Eicha is referring to the death of Aaron HaKohen. How? They have heard how I sigh? Says the Medrash, Moshe was crying. Aaron's sons were crying. How could the Jews not be crying? And only then, Vayibku Kol Yisrael. A little bit of a strange Medrash. Rav Eibishitz asks, what does the death of Aaron have to do with the Churban HaBayis that Yirmiyah in his Kina on Yerushalayim would bring it up? Why specifically Aaron? And what does it mean that the Jews should have cried? So Rav Yonasan Eibishitz references the Ramban in Parshas Chukas, who explains very simply, the Klal Yisrael committed a major sin around the time of Aaron's death, which actually led to them being attacked by Kenani Melech Arad. What was the sin? Well, Aaron went up to the mountain to die. So his procession prior to his death was made public. As the Pasuk says, Ye'asif Aaron. Aaron was gathered. Now why did it have to be like that? Why couldn't it have been done in private? So the Ramban explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated Aaron's death to be a procession. He should lead up to his death. Why? In order that the Jewish people of Klal Yisrael should know that Aaron's about to die, and then they should cry for him. They should offer up tefillos, that he should be saved, refuah shleima. And in fact, the Ramban says something scary. If the Klal Yisrael would have actually offered up those tefillos, they may have worked to extend Aaron HaKohen's life. But the Jews didn't do that. They saw Aaron going up to the mountain, They saw him going up to die. Their leader, the one who had made shalom with all of them, who was there for them when they needed him. But they didn't cry for him. And they didn't daven for him. Even after he died, they did cry, but initially they were silent. The Medrash is saying, they didn't cry. They didn't pay attention. Even after he died, they didn't even notice until they saw Moshe crying, his brother. They saw Aaron's sons crying, and then they cried. This was such a great sin that Klal Yisrael should have been stirred themselves to cry on the impending death of Aaron, even after Aaron died, and they didn't do so. And that's what the Medrash means when it says, Shimu ki ne'en cha'ani, they heard how I sigh. It's lamenting the sin of Klal Yisrael, that they didn't properly cry and offer up tfilos surrounding the death of Aaron HaKohen. But Rabbi Zitz still needs to make a connection that why would that sin need to be referenced in Megillas Eicha and somehow be connected to the tragedy of the Churban HaBayis. So we need a little background with respect to the Churban HaBayis. The first question we need to ask is, when was the Beis HaMikdash actually destroyed? You might say, that's a silly question. Of course it was Tisha B'Av. It's not so silly. The Gemara in Tainis, Daf Chochesam Abiz, notes that the Mishnah in Tainis says that one of the five tragedies that happened on Shivasar B'Tammuz was that the walls were breached. So the Gemara asks, but there's a Pasuk which says, in the fourth month in Tammuz, on the ninth of the month, then the walls were breached. That's in Yirmiyah, Perek Nun Beis. So it seems clear from the Pesukim in Yirmiyah that the walls were breached on Tisha B'Tammuz. So why do we assume it's Shivasar B'Tammuz, like we know from our fast, Shivasar B'Tammuz? So the Gemara answers, it depends. When we say the ninth of Tammuz, the walls were breached, that was by the first Beis HaMikdash. Shivasar B'Tammuz was the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so in fact, historically, according to the Gemara in Tainis, the walls were breached on different dates for the first Beis HaMikdash, when it was the ninth of Tammuz, the second Beis HaMikdash was Shivasar B'Tammuz. Now, the Yerushalmi in Tainis, Perek Dalet Halacha Hay, also poses the same question of a seeming contradiction. Did the walls get breached on the 17th of Tammuz or the 9th of Tammuz? But the Yerushalmi gives a different answer. The Yerushalmi says, Kilkulu cheshbonos yishkan. There was a messing up of the calculation of the dates. What does that mean? So Tosos, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yochesam Abayis, explains the Yerushalmi to mean that really, with both Batei Mikdash, the first and the second, the walls were breached on the 17th of Tammuz, Shivasar B'Tammuz. However, think about the mentality of someone who experiences tragedy. Everything becomes so murky and cloudy and unclear. The mind doesn't think straight at those moments. And says the Tosos in Rosh Hashanah to explain the Yerushalmi that because of the tirda, because of the trouble and the worry and the bother of the Churban, of the Avelos, Klal Yisrael actually messed up the calculation. When they thought back, they had thought that the walls were breached on the 9th of Tammuz, but it really wasn't. Really, it was breached on the 17th. But the Pasuk didn't want to veer from what the people thought. And that's why the Pasuk in Yirmiyah records that it was breached on the 9th of Tammuz, even though it's not true, because that's what the people thought. Now, this actually comes up a little bit halacha l'maisa, because the Shulchan Aruch in our Chaim writes that even though the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says the walls were breached on the 9th of Tammuz, we only fast on Shivasar B'Tammuz, as the 9th of Tammuz was by Bayis Rishon, whereas the 17th of Tammuz was by Bayis Sheni, and Bayis Sheni Churban was more severe. Essentially, the Shulchan Aruch is mirroring the Psak of the Gemara in Tainis to
to explain the contradiction as to why we celebrate Shivasar B'Tammuz, or mourn Shivasar B'Tammuz. The Magen Avraham on that just notes that according to the Yerushalmi, even for the first bias, it really happened on the 17th. It was just a Kilgul Cheshbonos. So of course we don't fast on the 9th of Tammuz. So he writes that some wanted to suggest maybe a Baal Nefesh, someone who's really scrupulous in mitzvos, should be machmir to also fast on the 9th of Tammuz. But according to the Yerushalmi, even a Baal Nefesh doesn't need to do that. Because according to the Yerushalmi, the walls were never breached on the 9th of Tammuz. In both Batei Mikdash, it was the 17th. It was simply a Kilgul Cheshbonos, a miscalculation. And according to Tosfos, in the way he explains the Yerushalmi, this answers the question of the Shiyare Karban on the Yerushalmi, one of the commentaries on the Yerushalmi, who asks that, I understand Klal Yisrael made a mistake, and therefore it was written in Sefer Yirmiyahu that way. But Yecheskel, it also says that. And that was recorded in Nevuah. So how did Yecheskel get it wrong? But according to Tosfos, the pshat is that the Jews got it wrong because of their tsar, because of their tirda, of the avelos of the churban. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the psukim in Tanakh to line up with the tirda and the tsar that the Jews were going through, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to us, Imo Anochi Batsara, I'm with you. I'm with you in your tsar. I'm with you in your tirda. I understand your tsar and your tirda caused you to mess up the calculation, but I'm right there with you. I understand your pain. I want to be there for you in your pain. I'm always there for you. What an incredible hashkafic message HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us by having a wrong date recorded in Tanakh forever just to show us Imo Anochi Batsara. But the Yerushalmi in Tanis continues and says that whether you say that the walls were breached on the 9th of Tammuz, or whether you say they were breached on the 17th of Tammuz, everyone agrees the Churban HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed 21 days exactly after the walls were breached. Now, if you make the calculation, it turns out that if we hold what we normally think, that Shivasar B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, was when the walls were breached, then 21 days later is Tisha B'Av. Good. However, if you say that the 9th of Tammuz was the day when the walls were breached, which according to the Yerushalmi might only be Kilgul Cheshbonos, but according to the Bavli, that actually was the date by the first Beis HaMikdash when the walls were breached, if you count 21 days from the 9th of Tammuz, what do you get? Rosh Chodesh Av. Echad Ba'av. According to one opinion in the Yerushalmi, it turns out the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed not on Tisha B'Av, on Rosh Chodesh Av. An opinion that most of us probably have never heard of. In fact, the Mari HaPanim, one of the commentators in the Yerushalmi, says we need to wait until Mashiach comes to know what day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and burned, to know what day to make a Yom Tov. So it could very well be that Rosh Chodesh Av, a regular day, might have been the day of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Now, based on this, a very interesting discussion comes out, l'halacha. They once asked the Kotzker Rav why we can't eat meat when it comes to the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av specifically. Why is that the halacha? But they asked it in a very interesting way. If you look at Rashi al Torah, on the pasuk of Ki Yarchiv Hashem Alokecha, Eskevulcha, Vamarta, Uchla Basar, Hashem allowed you to eat meat, Rashi says, we normally cannot eat meat out of Rachvas Yadayim Va'osher. There's an isser to eat meat if one's doing it in a gluttonous fashion, if one's doing it simply out of being wealthy and rich and indulgence. So how can we eat meat nowadays? The answer is, nowadays we're all considered cholim, we're weak, we're sick, nishtana hateva, we've changed. So our chacham have allowed us to eat meat. So if the reason we're allowed to eat meat the whole year is a heter because we're considered a chola, or we need the meat, so shouldn't that also apply during the 9 days. Why should there be an Isser to eat meat? So the Kusker answered, you're right. The rest of the year, we can't tolerate the inoy of not eating meat. We're not able to handle that level of pain and suffering. During the 9 days, we can tolerate it. So then they asked him, so why is Rosh Chodesh itself included in the minhag of not eating meat? It's Rosh Chodesh. We normally are allowed to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. We're encouraged to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. So he answered, because Rosh Chodesh Av is when Aharon HaKohen died. And therefore, you're right, really, the 9 days should be the 8 days, but because Aharon HaKohen died, we don't eat meat on Rosh Chodesh Av for that reason. So they said, okay, fine. If the reason why we don't eat meat on Rosh Chodesh Av is only because Aharon HaKohen died that day, then why should the Isser of eating meat be extended to the night before? We know that the minhag of not eating meat already begins on the night of Rosh Chodesh Av. But normally when we celebrate or mourn a Yahrzeit and fast that day or make a tikkun that day, that's all only the day of the Yahrzeit. So if we're really not eating meat to commemorate the Yahrzeit of Aharon HaKohen, then why does the minhag of not to eat meat extend to the night before? So he answered, based on this, the Yerushalmi we just mentioned, that the Yerushalmi, according to one opinion, says that the walls of the Yerushalayim by Churban Beis HaMikdash Rishon were breached on the 9th of Tammuz, count 21 days later to the Churban, which was Rosh Chodesh Av. So according to that, it comes out, as we just said, that according to one opinion, the Churban HaBayis itself was on Rosh Chodesh Av. And that's why we can't eat meat the entire Rosh Chodesh Av, even from the night before, because we're possibly mourning the Churban HaBayis itself. Now, according to this Yerushalmi, that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the first day of Av, on Rosh Chodesh Av, so Yonos HaAvish asks, there's a Yalkut Shimoni in Megillas Esther, which says that when Haman cast the lottery of what month to destroy the Jews in, it initially landed on the month of Av. So why didn't Haman go with that? Why did he have to re-roll the dice, so to speak? So the Medrash says, Haman said to himself, well, Av is the month the Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed. So two tzaros won't happen in 1 month. Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let that happen. Lightning's not going to strike twice. This is already a bad month. Let me find a month that's more ripe for tragedy. This has already experienced tragedy. So Haman's logic was that two tzaros won't happen in 1 month. But Rav Eibishit says, the big question on this medrash is we know Aharon HaKohen died in Rosh Chodesh Av. So why did Haman think there was only one tzara in Av, namely the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash on the first of Av? But Aharon HaKohen also died on that day. So there were already two. And according to Haman's logic, how could the Beis HaMikdash have been destroyed on that day, according to Haman, if there was already a tzara of Aharon HaKohen's death? So Raibishes explains, all the way back to the Ramban that we started with respect to the sin of the Jewish people at the time of Aaron's death, Raibishit says it would have been a tzara, Aaron's death, had the Jews properly eulogized, cried, and offered tefillos for Aaron. But they didn't feel the tzara. They didn't cry properly until they saw Moshe doing it, Aaron's son doing it, and so for them it wasn't truly a tzara. Haman knew that. Not only that, that's why the Churban happened on that day, says Rav Shitz. Because on the first of Av, when Aharon HaKohen died, the Jewish people didn't feel the pain of Aharon going up that mountain. They didn't feel the pain after Aharon died. That day became a day that was mesugal, that was ripe for Churban. Churban happens, says Rav Shitz, from lacking imo anochi batzara. I'm not with you. I don't feel your pain. The Jews didn't feel Aaron's pain. They didn't even really feel Moshe's pain or Aaron's son's pain. And Hashem says, you don't feel his pain? Okay, this is a day ripe for Churban. According to that opinion in the Yerushalmi, the Churban HaBayis Rishon was on Echad Ba'av, on Rosh Chodesh Av. And this was the kina, says Raibishitz, of Yirmiyahu. Shimu ki ne'en cha'ani. That first day of Av was a Churban. Why? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because you didn't cry for Aaron. You didn't want to help him. You didn't think about his pain. And that caused another tzara later on, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. These days, between Shvat Esrei B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, are very auspicious. There's 22 days, which are days of din, days of reflection of our averos. If you take 22 days away from the lunar year of 355, you get 333, which is a gematria of the word sheleg. So they could be days that are fit for tshuva and not sin. The Rabbi Shit says, a scary thought. That's what the pasuk in Yeshaya means when it says, "Im yuchatechem kashanim kasheleg yalbinu." If your sins are like crimson, they'll be white as snow. Says the Rabbi Shitz, that's only kasheleg. Only for 333 days of the year can our sins be whitened. But during this time, our sins are really not able to be whitened. They're highlighted. They manifest. Every year, hochfulu tzaros. Unfortunately, we're attempting to stay away from tragedy. But our sins are put under a microscope. It's a time of din. It's a time of cheshbon. The Gemara in Tainus, on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, says that the Anonei HaKavod came, the clouds of glory that protected the Jewish people, came b'schus Aaron. And Targum Yerushalmi Parshat Chukah says that Aaron was a Gavra Chasida, and so he merited Anonei D'Yikra. What's the connection? Sfas Emes Parshat Chukah says the Anonim were Shmira, they protected Klal Yisrael, symbolizing an extra love between Hashem and Jewish people. So specifically Aaron, who showed that love for Klal Yisrael. He brought that love about through the shalom that he always chased, the peace he always sought. In his merit, the Anonim came, the clouds of glory came, which displayed the same level of love and protection that Aaron showed to the Jews. The cloud was HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing that love to us. Rosh Chodesh Av, according to the Yerushalmi, was filled with a lack of Imo Anochi Batzara. Aaron's death was clout with a lack of empathy, lack of sympathy, not feeling the pain. And that led to churban, that led to a destruction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself showed us by allowing a factual, calendaric error to be recorded in Tanakh just because of our tirda and our tsar, that he shows us Imo Anochi Batzara. When we're in pain, we think, where is God? God is there in our pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us time and time again, Imo Anochi Batzara, I am with you. And if we have a tzivoy, if we're commanded to emulate God, Mahu Afata, whatever He is, we try to be like, we try to imitate God. Our tafkid in life is to be more God-like, to represent God, to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu shine through us. If one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hallmark midos is Imo Anochi Batzara, I'm with you, I feel your pain, I'm there with you in your pain, we need to be Imo Anochi Batzara as well. And perhaps that is a possible tikkun that we need to rectify on Rosh Chodesh Av specifically. Aaron HaKohen himself represented that, always trying to show love, to bring shalom, understanding the pain of others, and doing whatever he could to relieve that. That's why he merited Anani HaKavod. So perhaps this Rosh Chodesh Av, we can take a moment to reflect on this concept of Imo Anochi Batzara and to work on ways to be more like Aaron HaKohen, to try to show love to others, to bring peace between others, to understand the pain of others, what they're going through. Sima Kadosh Baruch Hu feels our tirda, feel our pain. And if we can do this, Mirtzem, this Rosh Chodesh Av, and the next several days leading up to what hopefully will be a Yontif, should not be days of Churban, but we should be Nefach, we should turn these days of Churban into days of Simcha, recognizing Imo Anochi Batzara, pursuing Ahava, Shalom, and these days, Rosh Chodesh Av, Oved Tisha B'Av, should be days where we work on this to ultimately merit seeing the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash, B'mehir B'yameinu.